lucky breaks. A chance to show if you've got what it takes. Give it your best and you're on your way. Let the big band play.
This is Off Stage and On the Air, Act 4, Scene 78. I'm Lisa Sheps, and I'm joined once again by my super tall, super good looking, super marvelous, super duper pooper scooper, Stuart Moulton. You're listening to us on KOOP, Hornsby, Austin, 91.7 FM. We stream live, koop.org. And you know, if it's theater, it's off stage and on the air. Stay with us.
Cupid's got a bow. Well, no, Cupid's got a needle. It'll find Ebbing. Careful, cause you'll bleed a little. But pretty soon romance will marinate your brain. Then watch the temperature go up. You hardly sleep because your sheets are wet. Toss and turn for hours and you're sweating.
It is Monday, November 8th. The first show of our fourth season and the first show of our new day. And what a program we have today. First, we'll be airing our interview with some of the Radio City Rockettes. And on the second half of the show, The Test Flight of Drone, a musical about surveillance on the Texas border. Plus, we will be joined by a special co-host. All that with news and views from the world of theater, Austin, New York, and beyond. Stay with us.
You're on them praying that you'll keep some self-respect.
Stuart.
Lisa, I'm about to wet myself. I'm so excited you have a clip from this. I cannot wait to see Women on the Verge.
Yeah, but you know it opened, right?
Yeah.
And you know it didn't do very good, right?
I know. Who cares? Sherry Renee Scott, Patti LuPone. Give me Brian Stokes Mitchell.
Okay, and Patti LuPone got some. Oh, I've got to read you some of these things.
Okay, do. You know I love this.
An Unholy Mess. John Simon. let's see. Despite the constant motion, Women on the Verge doesn't go anywhere.
See, you know this just makes me want to go even more.
But then
more.
Again, you have the New York Post said it's a mess, but it's a big, fun Technicolor mess.
Yay. See?
And then a saucy, splashy, and mighty, tasty musical comedy. So some of them were okay.
What did Ben Brantley say? I'm dying to see his.
Well, and his is, feels hopelessly distracted from the beginning to the end. But I also have his whole review here.
Mm.
and this is the one I wanted to see. I wanted to... Poor Patti LuPone. Poor Ben Brantley and Patti LuPone.
Poor Tony Award-winning, fabulous big star,
so
Patti
women,
LuPone.
He says, this is in the fourth paragraph, Women doesn't even pause long enough to allow the audience to give a hand to the first solo sung by Patti LuPone, the biggest name on the marquee here, and in parentheses, and woe unto ye who deprive LuPone of applause. So I knew you would appreciate that. So what we heard before, that was Sherry Renee Scott.
Yeah.
And you know what,
genius.
Stuart?
Oh, she's so good.
Because I pulled this off of their website, off the Lincoln Center website, and it's video, actually. So you can see it. And that actually looks like a really charming number.
Yeah.
And I would
I'm
see
all
it
for
too.
It. I cannot wait. I cannot wait. God knows when I'll get there, but
it looks
wait.
Good, but it just, I would go quickly if I were you. It got universally
you
not so good.
Say it isn't so.
It's probably so. So, Stuart, I don't know if you know it or not, but a few weeks ago we had we gave away as a silent auction item, Be a Radio Star. Do you know about that?
I do know.
And we have our winner here that is going to be a co-host for the day. And so I would like to welcome Maureen McLean to the program.
Yay!
Welcome, Maureen.
Tidy ho.
Now, Maureen, you're not only you're a listener to this. You're one of our
I'm
loyal
a
fans,
devoted fan. Yes, I podcast offstage and on the air.
Really, a devoted podcaster.
We love that.
We love that. Well,
are our royalty checks in the mail?
I get mine every week. Well, I don't understand where yours is.
I don't get anything any week.
But I'm bummed. So we are so pleased to have you here on the program. So tell folks who you are. And I know that you have probably something that you'd like to plug as well a little bit, right?
Well, I am a devoted listener to Offstage and On the Air.
Okay, well, that's enough.
Yes, Lisa. No, go ahead, Marie.
And also, I happen to have a couple of musical groups of my own. I'm a member of the Therapy Sisters.
Yes.
We urge you to give up bad music for good. And I'm a member of a Spanish language group called Las Gabachachas.
Now, those of us who speak fluent Spanish know what that means, but those that don't may not.
Yeah. A gabacha is a non-Hispanic person, like a foreigner.
Like Stuart.
So we are four, like gringas, we're mm-hmm. four gabachas, and we play cha-cha-cha. That's the name, Las Gabachachas.
Aha! So, and well, we know that I've known the Therapy Sisters since I moved
sure.
here. And I was actually really, before I moved here, I happened to be in town looking for a house during South By or something. And I heard you guys on the radio. And I was thrilled. Mm-hmm. And so, in full disclosure, when I moved into my present house and learned that the Therapy Sisters lived five doors down from me, I was thrilled.
Seriously.
Yeah. So Maureen and I are neighbors.
That's it. We Aww. Walk dogs together.
Aww,
it's lovely.
How fun.
Yeah. You can give a shout out to your dogs.
Bye. Luz and Manito, I hope you're listening.
Manito is an afterthought these days. Poor little Manito. Yeah. Well, we are so, so, so pleased to have you here. And so feel free to like, interject as we go along.
Absolutely.
Okay.
But we need to move right
along. It's a full agenda.
But actually, as a listener to the show, you'll know what we constantly, there are a couple of constants here on the program that we
mm-hmm.
always talk about.
Well, I know you must mention a certain play with a certain superhero in it.
Yes.
It's a musical.
Which has been delayed.
What?
It's been delayed.
Oh,
again?
No.
Oh, no.
It pushes back its date again. It's now going to be opening in January, January 11th.
Of course, we're referring to Spider-Man.
Yes.
Spider-Man Kiss, Turn Off the Dark. I was going to say Kiss Off the Dark.
Kiss Off the Dark. that's probably what Julie Taymor is saying right now.
I'm probably going to call her and talk about that.
Yeah.
Does
it say anything on previews?
Previews, yes. They start December 21st.
Wow. So that's like when they were supposed to
Wrong. That was their opening night. They're November 28th.
Oh, okay. All
yeah. Right. So they pushed the opening from the 21st to yeah. January 11th.
Yeah.
But, you know, who wants to open a show on the winter solstice? Or winter
Well, you know,
equinox?
I heard that the delay in the show was because they had recently fumigated the theater, but they didn't want to endanger Spider-Man's health, and so they had to put it off a certain number of weeks so the insecticide wouldn't affect him.
Okay, she paid for this, so she's allowed to say these things.
Sure, that's what it is.
So,
doesn't have anything to do with delays and sets
and
costumes.
Oh, my God, and $50
million.
$50 million. And then, of course,
Sondheim. I could live off of that for a year or two.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you'd have to downscale a little bit.
And Sondheim.
And, of course, I have to do my daily or weekly New York Times.
Yeah.
Did you see this?
Mm-mm.
Did anybody else see this? I'm holding it up to the microphone.
Oh.
It's Sondheim all over the front page of the New York Times Arts and Leisure section.
Where he should be.
And it's actually a wonderful article about a man who found Sondheim later in life. And it's really this really great story about going with his daughter to see a little night music in a high mm-hmm. school performance. No, sorry, Sweeney Todd in a high school mm-hmm. performance. And he was like, oh, my God, I'm going to hate it. And he fell in love with the music.
Well.
And he went out and found the first production he could find. I believe it was at Goodspeed.
Mm-hmm.
And he went to go see that because he wanted to find out whether, you know, it was good. And he was just fell in love with it. So it's a wonderful article about
very nice.
Stevie, as I like to call him.
And he also has a book that just came out.
Yes, he does.
Did you hear about that? Do you mm-hmm. remember the title? Something about a hat?
Sondheim?
Yes, yeah. It's a book.
Finishing
of
the
his,
Hat, probably.
Yes, Finishing the Hat. It's a book
based
about his lyrics. And so that's mm-hmm. got to be interesting to see where mm-hmm. they came from and
yep.
how he compares his writings to
hat.
Other composers.
Finishing the Hat, of course, being from Sunday in the Park.
Sunday in the Park with George. Merchant of Venice
mm-hmm.
opened.
Uh-huh.
My gosh, what great, great reviews it got. All the way around over at the Delcourt Theater.
Yep.
And there was a lot of stuff in the news because Lily Rabe, who is one of the leads in it, had to postpone for personal reasons.
Mm-hmm.
And they found out what the personal reasons are. Do you know what they were?
I don't.
Well, you know that she is the daughter of David Rabe, the playwright, and Jill Klaber, mm-hmm. who passed away. So we're gonna talk about Jill Klaber, but I just sort of wanted to make a nod to that. Pretty big thing, but she got awesome reviews
Great.
In Merchant of Venice with this is Al Pacino mm-hmm. and Lily Rabe in at the Delcourt Theater, which is have you been to the Delcourt?
I like the Delcourt.
Love the Delcourt.
It's really a sweet, sweet theater.
Yeah, it really is. And in the middle of Central Parquet.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever heard of a person named, let's see if I can get this right, Donna McKechnie?
I'm buddies with Donna.
Are you?
I am.
Has she been here to Austin Cabaret Theater?
Yeah, we've produced her.
Since I was here?
Uh-huh.
Get it. Oh, yeah, I think I remember,
So it was great. And in fact, not to, toot my own horn, as it were, but a friend of mine just met her recently, and they were... He was saying that I was the, mutual connection. She's like, God, I loved it down in Austin. They were so good to me. They were great. We had a ball. I love Stuart. So it was
well, you
really
know,
nice.
Everybody loves Stuart, especially the big name people.
Hell yeah.
You know, she's opening her show.
Mm-hmm. Dancer's Life.
My musical comedy life.
Yeah.
Where is she opening it? Come on. Let's see how up you are.
I thought she was doing it at Feinstein's, but.
No. Don't think New York.
Oh.
Get your head out of New York.
Where?
Maybe think somewhere in the Midwest, perhaps.
Chicago?
No, think elsewhere Chicago. Think
St.
east
Louis.
Of Chicago.
Is she doing in Indianapolis? What's the name of it?
No, not in Indianapolis, but you're close. You're in the right state. She's doing it in South Bend, Indiana.
Oh, wow.
Ooh.
Huh.
Yeah, I know. And guess who her musical director is?
Who's her musical director?
You're not going to guess?
No.
Somebody you know.
Alex Rybak?
Yep.
Yay!
Who will be here next week with Jason Groff?
Yes, we love Alex Rybak.
Alex is great.
So, I have to say that, and I'm going to talk about this right now. Actually, I'm coming up to our last thing before mm-hmm. we end this section. Was mm-hmm. there anything else you wanted to?
I do. Next week, Austin Cabaret Theater has the irrepressible Jason Groff coming to town for three nights, the 18th, 19th, and 20th. It will be at Ringside at Sullivan's. Jason is, let me put it this way. If you're at his show, you're going to be laughing so hard you won't need to go to the gym and do crunches for a week. He is a delight.
I will double down on that. I really enjoy Jason's work.
Thank you.
And what a wonderful man he is as well.
Yeah.
Both he and Alex, I met them when I was fortunate enough to be with him when he came here, mm-hmm. 6 years ago, 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Wonderful, wonderful performer. Yeah. Wonderful show. Funny.
Oh my God, he's funny.
I hope he does that Sondheim song again, because I just think that's funny.
Oh, I mean, they got to listen to the producer. I'll tell him he has to.
He must.
I'll have him throw that in there just for you, Lisa Shepps.
So we will talk a little bit more about that again when we get into local stuff.
Oh, okay. Did I jump the gun?
No, well, not necessarily. I just want to, we have rules here at Offstage and on the
Sorry.
Air. I'd like to be able to do things.
I went off script.
Willy-nilly, but, my hands are tied.
Corporate I went is off script,
running
ladies
up
and gentlemen.
My behind like crazy.
Mm. Dates a day.
Darn corporate. So the sad news and the interesting coincidences and everything sort of mm-hmm. the web coming together and everything. Jerry Bock died on Wednesday,
mm-hmm.
and as you know, Jerry Bock was one of the writers of Fiddler on the Roof, along with the Rothschilds, Fiorello, mm-hmm. She Loves Me, The Apple Tree, Tenderloin. All sorts of things.
Yeah.
And his, Jules Stein died last week.
Julie Stein died?
Not Julie Stein, sorry. God. Who do you write Fiddler with? Hold on. Oh my God.
I should know this.
Anyway.
If I were rich,
I'm going to come up with it before because, he died last week. And then Jill Klaber.
Yeah.
Died this week as well. And they all worked together and so many different things. Mm-hmm. Jill Clayburgh, or Bach did Fiorello. Mm-hmm. Oh, and Tom Bosley died last week as well, who won a Tony for Fiorello. Mm-hmm. And Jerry Bach wrote that one. Mm-hmm. He wrote The Rothschilds, which had Jill Clayburgh in it. And now, the thing about Jill Clayburgh, and I found my ignorance today when I was doing a little research on her, I thought she was a bigger stage performer than she was. She actually hadn't done all that much on stage.
Yeah, it was more film, right?
It was more film. But I knew her, and I guess it has to do with where you learn of somebody, because mm-hmm. I knew of her from Pippin years ago, and then Rothschilds.
I have a funny Tom Bosley story.
Well, let's hear it.
A friend of mine was doing a show with Tom Bosley, and I can't remember what show, but Tom had this big musical number, and totally bit it on his lyrics, just went up on his lyrics, stumbling, stammering, you know, the whole nine yards throughout the entire song. At the end, there's a, you know, golf clap of applause from the audience. And Tom goes over to the table where my friend was sitting, you know, on set as one of the, you know, chorus, leans down and says, "Start my car."
Oh, God.
I love that.
Yeah. So anyway, may they rest in peace.
I know.
And it really is very sad. We've lost a whole bunch of people.
Way to bring the room down, Lisa.
Well, I just sort of needed to sort of, it's not, I also want to celebrate their life. I mean.
Absolutely.
Bach was 85, I think, something like in his late 80s.
Yep.
Jill Clayburgh had been battling. Mm-hmm. Sickness for a long time. So, anyway, speaking of Jill Clayburgh and speaking of Pippin, let's listen to a little bit
Yay.
Of it.
I guess I'll miss the man. Explain it if you can. His face was far from fine, but still his face and wonder if he's missing mine. Some days he wouldn't say a pleasant word all day. Some days he'd scowl and curse, but there were other days when he was really even worse. Some men are heroes, some men outshine the sun.
Jill Clayburgh, may she rest in peace.
God rest her.
Yeah, we have another song from her later, so we'll hear her a couple of times.
Good.
And that, of course, was Pippin, Jill Clayburgh.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to get right into our next piece, which is...
I can't wait!
Which is, you know, I'm not going to even say what it is, because I'm going to let the piece sort of speak for itself.
Oh, will it do that?
I think your listeners are going to get a real kick out of this next piece.
I'm not sure at all. So, that was good. So anyway, let's just go to it, shall
Great.
We?
Great.
Here we go.
Roll it.
Stuart Malton.
Lisa Sheps.
How excited are you?
I am so excited I can barely stand it. I've had to change my panties 3 times today already.
God, that is wrong on so many levels. So tell the folks why you're so excited.
I am so excited because we are here in the studio to interview the world famous.
The world famous.
World famous Radio City Music Hall Rockettes.
Oh my God. So that is great. I want to take the time right now to welcome to the show Lori Barber and Audrey Douglas Bose with the Radio City Rockettes.
Thank you, ladies.
Welcome.
Hi. Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Okay, so I'm going to move the webcam here, folks, so that folks can see this.
It is radio, however.
Yes, exactly. So, but we do appreciate that the ladies, well, Stuart, tell them.
Well, of course, they are in probably the most recognized costume from the Christmas Spectacular. It's the red velvet trimmed in the white fur with the Swarovski crystal cummerbund and with the matching collar that has the Swarovski crystals in
hey,
it
Stuart,
and on the head.
Stuart, I have a great idea.
What?
Why don't you let them tell us?
Oh, but I have one of these at home.
Sure you do. But we're going to let them tell us.
Okay.
Well, I couldn't have said it better myself.
Exactly.
But these are our quintessential Rockette holiday costumes. And yes, every time we step out in these, people recognize us as the Rockettes, and it's an amazing feeling.
So how long have you guys been with the Rockettes?
This is my 7th year.
And this is only my 2nd year, so I'm a newbie.
Now, what a lot of people don't know is just because you make it to be a Radio City Rockette doesn't mean you're always a Rockette. You have to audition every year or for every tour or show that they're doing. Isn't that correct?
Yes, we have evaluations at the end of every year, and I think it's a 60% get the call back that you're automatically called back as a Radio City Rockette, and you don't have to audition, like with a group of girls. But the other 40% can go to a separate call just for the Rockettes who are past Rockettes, and hopefully you'll make it again.
Now, you guys are not the only company of Radio City Rockettes. Aren't there others around the country?
Yes, this season we'll hit about 26 cities in total, because we have about 3 companies that sit down in different cities, and then we have an arena tour that itself hits 19 cities, plus, of course, a Radio City Music Hall as well.
Have both of you performed at Radio City Music Hall before?
Yes, I have done both. I've been at Radio City Music Hall, and I've toured with the show.
The last year I did it, I just did the traveling cast in Atlanta and Dallas, so I've never performed.
But you've both been backstage there.
I have. Incredible. It's amazing.
Okay, what most people don't know about me is that as far as the holiday season is concerned, it is not Christmas to me until I see the Radio City Christmas Spectacular with the world famous Radio City Music Hall Rockettes. It honestly puts me in the Christmas spirit. I go up to New York every year the first week of December so I can see the show. You guys are saving me a fortune this year by being here in Austin.
I know. We're so excited to be here, especially since I'm from Austin.
Right.
I grew up here, and my parents still live here, and most of my family still lives here. So I get to be here for Christmas, which is amazing, and they get to see the show.
So you studied dance here in Austin?
Yes, I did.
Where did you study?
Dancer's Workshop, and I also was on the Red Jacket drill team at Austin High School.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah.
Shout out. Shout out. So are the dance instructors that you worked with here in Austin still part of your life?
Yeah, definitely. I see them all the time. We actually just went to visit my drill team director, and she was so excited. And actually, my studio owner, actually, her daughter is a Rockette, and has been a Rockette for like 9 years. So she kind of got me into it. So it's great.
You know, when I first moved to New York way back in the 70s, seriously, one of my dear friends wanted to be a Rockette like it was nobody's business. It was her dream. It was really sort of amazing to me how important this was to her. So I know that it's got to be important to all of you guys. And the other thing that I remember from back then was the Rockettes used to perform on stage at Radio City Music Hall with a film. There was a film and then a presentation by the Rockettes. And that stopped back in 1979, didn't it?
That's correct. Yes, back when we first started with the Rockettes, we were actually brought to the music hall in 1932 to be part of the christening of Radio City. We were then known as the Missouri Rockettes, because in 1925 we were in Missouri. But they brought us to New York with Roxy Rutherfell, and he changed the name. Well, he actually wanted to call us the Roxyettes, but then it was streamlined to the Rockettes. And we've been there ever since 1933, doing the Christmas Spectacular.
Well, for those of you that are looking at the webcam, you can totally see that these ladies are very well preserved.
Yeah, for 1925 that they started?
Well, thank you.
And for those of you that don't have the webcam, you can know that we have a couple of lovely young ladies here, and we're sure that they were not around in 1933.
No.
What's really, really cool is that Radio City, when it was built originally, the Navy came in and studied the hydraulics because they were so state-of-the-art, all the systems for moving the stage. Now, how many turntables and lifts are there at Radio City?
There are 3 elevators to the stage. The orchestra is on an elevator itself that can move along the stage, either down under the bottom or on top of the stage. And these elevators can move independently or all together. And then there's a giant turntable in the middle as well. So, yes, it's very exciting. And what I think is amazing, it is still operated the same way it was.
Steam-powered,
as
right?
It was, yep.
And even now today, still that those same things are still running down there, the same mm-hmm. pipes. And then as an audience member, I mean, I don't know, it's so incredible to see
the
orchestra rise up from the pit and then move upstage.
Yeah, and then it moves upstage. Did you know it's not tracked?
What?
It's not tracked. There is a man who lays on his belly underneath
what?
The orchestra. It's true. And he drives it. There's a TV monitor and he drives it with a steering wheel and his name is Bumpy.
How do you know all of this inside information?
Biggest
you are. I'm so impressed right now. You know Bumpy.
Oh my God. No, you have no idea. No, seriously. I'm such a fan. At like Radio City, they only use, in the costume department, they only use Singer sewing machines from the 1940s because they never break down. They were built wartime. So it's, you know, just saves time and money because they can just sew through anything.
You guys didn't even need to be here. Oh my God.
It's true. Our work is done.
Okay, so what date do you guys open here in Austin, Texas?
We open December 17th, and we go to the 31st, and we have 31 shows during that three-week period. So,
wait, you know, we've got a saying in my family, Oy vey's near.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, when you guys are not on stage, you're changing costumes.
Yeah.
And oh my God.
They're gorgeous.
Gorgeous costumes.
Yeah, we have 8 different costume changes, and they're all so elaborate, and each costume is very different, all different colors and like long sleeve, you know, all the different headpieces, and we have earrings to match and gloves. So it's
Do you each get your own dresser?
There's one dresser to about 3 or 4 people.
Wow. Seriously, because some of your changes are really fast.
We have as little as 2 minutes to make some changes, and that's why the choreography off stage is just as important as the choreography on the stage, and our dressers. Yeah, have their routine and have their marks as well as we do.
Okay, I have to ask you, here in Austin, are you doing the bus?
In Austin, we're not bringing the bus. I know. The venue's not big enough to, like, contain all the production equipment, so...
But what's great about it is Austin is going to get to see a new show because the show that came here in 2008 had the bus that you're referring to. But it'll still have the staples, of course, since 1933, the Parade of the Wooden Soldier and the Living Nativity.
So, listeners, if you have not seen the March of the Toy Soldiers, okay, literally I cry when I say it. I've seen this a million times, this show. When they start to fall in slow motion...
Right, and you know, I want to get onto some more details about the show, but before we do that, I need to talk about some of the costumes you ladies wear, and you know, especially when you talk about the March of the Wooden Soldier costumes.
They're cool.
And the starch in the pants, and seriously, and also if you wear the hat right, what you can actually see.
Or can't see.
Right, yes. The pants are so starched that they stand up by themselves.
Well, I know that's what it said in the material, but...
They definitely stand up on their own. And we have to stick one leg in and jump into them because you can't, like, to bend them... Well, you're not allowed to bend them because it'll look all wrinkly on stage, so... And then the hats we wear are pulled down almost all the way over our eyes, so you can see maybe about 3 feet in front of you only.
Well, and especially with how the formation... is because it's so regimented, you know, with the straight lines and the formations you have to get into.
Okay, but I understand all the girls that are behind another girl, you can look at her, but let's just talk about that lead girl. What about her?
Yeah, we have numbers and letters, so we have numbers in front and letters on the side, so you really... The girl, if you're far enough front, you can see the numbers. But otherwise, we practice enough times that it's kind of just in our bodies. So
amazing.
And we always guide right as a general rule. So that girl can see the numbers, can see the lines that she has to go to. And we just depend on her to guide us there.
Now, let's cut to the chase. Let's now talk about what everybody wants to know.
That's right. Everybody, we want to know what everybody wants to know.
That's right. The kick line.
Yes, the kick line, of course.
And I have to say, am one of the few men in the world who has gotten to do a kick line with the Radio City Rock.
That's not a shameless plug, of course.
Of course it is. But explain to folks. A lot of people think you hold on to each other, which isn't true. And how do you get the legs all the same height?
Yes,
everybody tell us.
It used to be a shorter line of girls. But, you know, as we've grown as a society, women are taller now and things like that. So now the height requirement is 5'6 to 5'10 and a half. I'm not sure. I believe it started around like 5'4 when it first got started. But yeah, now we're up. They raised the bar a little bit.
So that's one illusion. So we have the taller girls stand in the center, and it trickles out to the less tall ladies. And we all kick eye high. So if we all kick our highest, obviously, that'll be different. Exactly. So we all have our famous eye high kicks, as I'm sure you know. And we don't touch each other at all. One hand is on the back and on the upper back, and one on the lower. So no touching, because if a girl happens to fall, which happens sometimes, the stage gets a little slippery. But
so she won't take the others down with her.
Yeah, she won't take anyone with her.
If it was Stuart, he'd grab the girl in front of him and bring him down with
him. I'd be the last one standing. Exactly. The lone Rockette.
With Rockette from the side.
Rockette strewn about my feet.
Well, that's the thing. We are a sisterhood up there, yeah. So there's not one Rockette that can stand out.
Okay, but before we tell folks how they can get information on the show, mm-hmm. We know you've got a whole bunch of cast members. You also have a zillion gobby gobs of crew people, but you also have some four-legged cast members.
We certainly do, and they are as well rehearsed as we are. This is part of our living nativity scene. So we have live animals that come out on stage with us. We have sheep, we have a donkey, and camels. So that's always fun, especially for the children. To get to see the animals up close and personal.
A friend of mine has been a stage manager in the New York show forever. She's doing it, did it a long time ago. And when she first started, she was on animal duty.
So she had to like follow me. She was on duty, basically.
She was on duty. She was like the guy in the cartoon in the back with a shovel.
We have those.
Okay, well, most of the stuff that I got, I knew, but there was something that I read in the material that I did not know. Mm-hmm. So in addition to the dancers and the crew and the animals, you, as part of your cast, you also have some little people.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, they perform as elves in the show and help carry the scene with Santa and take the, you know, children on a tour through the toy shop.
Pretty incredible.
Lisa and I will so be there.
Okay, so tell folks where they can go to get information about the show.
So like I said, we'll be at the Bass Concert Hall from December 17th through the 31st, and you can get your tickets at BroadwayAcrossAmerica.com or at the box office at the Bass Concert Hall.
Okay, well, any final, Stuart, you have anything final that you want to say to these ladies?
Ladies, all I can say is just break a gorgeous gam, have a fabulous run. I cannot wait to see it.
And, you know, we knew you were coming, but we didn't know that you were coming in costume.
This was the icing on the cake. I mean, never in my wildest dreams. Well, okay, I dreamt that maybe you would show up this way because that's the Rockettes, but to actually see you up close.
And we'll take some pictures with these ladies, and there will be some pictures on the web with Stuart and me and Audrey and Laura.
Yes. Thank you, ladies.
Oh, thank you for having
us. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for coming on the show. We hope to have you again soon and break a leg.
Hopefully not.
Mary.
Let me put my gun down. This is Dee Dee Snavely, and I'm letting you know you're listening to Offstage and On the Air at KOOP Hornsby, Austin, 91.7 FM, and it beats the out of Andy Williams.
What a wonderful interview.
Oh, I want to go out and Christmas shop
now. Yeah, that was great. We may reprise that a while because they don't play here till the 17th.
Yeah.
But it is something for folks to definitely check out. Maureen, you're going to go, aren't you?
I just put it on my calendar now. There I've got
there
to.
You go. And I
it's
saw
just,
her doing
it's
it.
It's just the best. It really is so enchanting. It's just, ugh.
So that's the Radio City Rockettes Christmas Spectacular. Plays December 17th through the 31st at the Bass Concert Hall.
Yep.
For more information, BroadwayCrossAmerica.com. You can also go to TexasPerformingArts.org. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
the dolls are in their best array. There's going to be a wonderful parade. On the drum, tell everyone, here they come.
Stuart is dancing to the March of the Wooden Soldiers right now, and I ain't kidding. Stuart, you were so jealous of those girls.
I was incredibly jealous.
Yeah. So I need to talk about a couple of things here locally, and then we're going to try to speed this section up because, as usual, we're behind schedule. But it's very exciting. Next week on the show, we have Bertolt Brecht's Ball, who is being done by the Paper Chairs Players. And what we want to do, this is very exciting, we're going to give away tickets for this week's performance right now. But the deal is they have to go see it this weekend, and then they come on the show with the people from the theater to talk about the experience. Ah. So here's the deal, folks. If you want two tickets to Ball, Bertolt Brecht's Ball.
Say that 10 times
fast. It is not easy to say. It opens November 11th, so you would have to be able to go see it this weekend at the, I think it's at the Salvage Vanguard.
And it's Bertolt
Brecht's at the Salvage.
What?
I hate you. Anyway, you'd have to go this weekend, and then you need to come onto our show, be available to come on the show, either in person, which is what we'd like, or you can join us by phone.
You know, they say that if you go to that show, you will have a ball.
Okay. Who invited her?
You.
Boom.
She's the one who won.
Crickets, crickets, crickets. She just sits here and thinks these things up. Mm-hmm. She's we're going to have to invite her back. Anyway, be the second email to Lisa@offstageonair.com, Lisa@offstageonair.com. That's two tickets to Ball, and you'll have a ball. Thank you, Maureen. This weekend at the Salvage Vanguard, and then you'll come on the show a week from today, 1:30. So that's it. Second emailer, Lisa@offstageonair.com. So you know what I wanted to talk about that I missed?
What?
This day in history, which is very, very interesting. 1913. It's the birthday of June Havoc. Do you know her?
Yeah.
You do?
Hello.
I didn't know her name.
Yeah.
Okay. Maureen, wait. Maureen, do you know?
Did I go to school with her?
I think you did. It was back in 1913. Oh, ba-dum-bum. Anyway, she was better known as June Havoc, which is better known as Baby June of Gypsy fame.
Yep.
So today was her birthday.
Hi, everybody. My name's June.
I
What's
thought that was interesting.
Yours?
And they say that the show pretty accurately sums up her childhood.
Yeah.
Which I think is very interesting. Also, 1926, this was the opening.
And it was, I think Gypsy was based on her memoir, wasn't it? I'm pretty sure it was.
I'm looking. It doesn't say. I don't know. We'll research that.
Let's research that.
1926 was the opening night of OK at the Imperial Theater.
No Coward.
Yeah, no. George and I Gershwin.
Gershwin, I'm sorry, yeah.
I'm going, I didn't know he
wrote
musicals.
Coward did write musicals, actually.
Like what?
I'll get back to you on it, but I've got a whole book of it.
So anyway, in the Boom Boom Room, which was written by David Rabe, who's Lily Rabe's father, Jill Clayburgh's husband. So I thought that was interesting. That opened in 1973. And then I also wanted to let folks know what they've got their last chance to see here in town
Here in Austin,
Closing is The Crucible, which is at the City Theater. We had them here last week. Also, we didn't have them here on the show, but they'd been on the show before. Playhouse Smithville, which is in their first season, is kicking bleep. They are they're selling out every night in Smithville.
Yay, and Smithville!
They are doing Dracula, and they close on the 16th. And of course, our next guests are here to talk about their show that's on the 11th. You only have one chance to see that, really. But more about that later. And then this is somebody I wanted to get on the show but didn't. It came really close. The real Dr. Strangelove at the Hogg Memorial Auditorium. Which sounds really, really interesting. Edward Teller and the Battle for the H-Bomb. And Vampirus, who is here, closes. Mm-hmm. So these are all things.
You know, that Vampirus show is really good, and if you go see it, you will fang us for telling you about it.
It's like a bloodletting here, isn't it?
I'm not even going to bite at that.
Well, it doesn't really suck, does it? Ba-dum-bum. Okay, and enough of that stuff. Let's see where we are. We need to give Maureen time to think of her next whopper. what? Yes.
Go ahead.
No, go on.
No, seriously. No, I was going to say who. No.
Give folks another plug for Austin Cabaret Theater's Jason Graw, please.
Yes, Jason Graw next week, Austin Cabaret Theater, and this show will be at Ringside at Sullivan's, 3rd in Colorado, and the
That's a change.
It is a change. We're using that room a couple of times this season. Darling room. It's like stepping back into a little 1930s jazz club.
Mm-hmm, yeah,
great.
I like Ringside.
It's a cute room.
Is that going to be a new venue for the
We're just
trying something out.
Yeah, you since it's our 10th anniversary, we thought we'd change it up a little bit.
Don't want to say anything here on the program? Don't want to say anything here on the program? Give anything away? New venue?
Nope.
Come
not
on.
Yet.
Work
nope.
with me. Work
not
with
yet.
me.
Not yet. But yeah, so Jason Graw, incredibly funny, incredible voice, just stellar performance, 18th, 19th, and 20th. For more information, austincabaret.org, O-R-G.
And you say a 30s atmosphere in the
The room has
Have you been there?
It's
my
darling.
Curiosity.
It's really darling.
I would love to see. Although they say nostalgia is not what it used to be, but I would like to go.
Stop. Have you not been there then?
Right. I have not, but I plan to.
Yeah, it's fun. It's fun. We have a good time.
I'm filling up my calendar like mad.
Let's see, we're here to help.
That's what we do here on Offstage and on the Air. So everybody stick around. We'll be right back with... you're looking at me like I was supposed to do something else.
No.
Come on, talk to me.
No,
talk
keep
to me.
Going.
Talk
keep going.
To
we're
me.
Losing
okay.
time.
Bye.
Young, strong, oh, I was something in days gone by. With some girl who just happened to catch my eye. Slim, straight, light on my feet, shoes just skimming the ground. 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, follow the beat. Around, around, around. All night, circling the floor, till dawn lit up the sky. No one young.
I have no idea why I played that. I know there's a reason.
Well,
oh, She Loves Me.
Because
it's
She Loves Me,
Bach.
It's Jerry Bach.
I'm such an idiot. Anyway, Stuart.
Once again, bringing the room down. Deaths
no,
and show business.
No. We are celebrating his life. The very first Broadway show I ever saw was Fiddler on the Roof. He holds a very dear place in my heart, in my life, in my theater existence. So,
isn't he also he might be the father of Catherine Bach. Is that correct?
Possibly.
Okay.
He's the father. He's not the father of Johann Sebastian Bach or Barbara Bach, and he doesn't drink Bach beer.
But he's gone now, and he won't be Bach.
There you go. We knew that was coming. So. Before we get into our next thing, I need to go over a few basics.
Oh, mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right.
So before you bring a show to Broadway, there are many, many stops along the way usually.
Mm-hmm.
Before hitting the Great White Way, you usually have previews in New York. Mm-hmm. Before that, you have an out-of-town run. And, of course, Stuart, as you know, there's previews with that too.
Yes.
And then sometimes you have a workshop. And, of course, there are the backers auditions. Have you ever been to a backers audition?
Yes, I hate those.
I saw, and I was trying to remember what I saw, and I thought, I wanted to say it was Best Little Whorehouse in Texas, but it wasn't. But it was some other flop about Texas, and I don't remember what it was. But it was a...
Was it the follow-up?
Maybe.
The follow-up
sequel,
to Whorehouse?
I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I don't remember, but I remember sitting in that thing going, this is awful.
That was probably the follow-up.
Anyway, so what all these things are before they get to Broadway are like test flights,
mm-hmm.
wouldn't you say?
Yep.
So this Thursday, and for one night only.
One night only, one night only.
Quick, Maureen, what show is that from?
You stumped me.
Dreamgirls.
Dreamgirls.
Okay. The Crank Collective, our very dear friends, will be test flying their next production, which, of course, as you know, is a docu-musical.
Mm-hmm.
I believe the first of its kind.
Well, let's just go out on a limb and say it is the first docu-musical.
It is. It's a show filled with romance, espionage, music, and mayhem. Mm-hmm. It chronicles like two pilots flying surveillance over the Mexico border. I mean, what that screams musical, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And here to talk about it is a good friend of the show, John Cecil, along with fellow good member, friend of the show, cast member, Josh Meindertsma. How are you guys doing?
Doing great. Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us on. Third time, I think.
And you don't even live in Austin.
No, I live in Los Angeles, California.
Back from there.
It's a big place.
Yeah, it is a big place.
It took me a while to get that out of my mouth.
But you did it. So tell us about this whole test run thing.
Well, you know, just to mention, they're not just flying the planes. They're remote flying the planes because this is a Predator drone aircraft border.
Right.
Which Texas now has, I think, 5 drone aircraft flying over the border.
Seriously?
In real life. They do. And so what goes on in these trailers, little trailers of 2 people? Well, we're going to find out. And the best way we thought to communicate this message was through musical comedy.
Well, of course. How else would you do it?
That's the best way to communicate anything.
It is. It gets the point across in a big way.
Okay, and so this is a brand new piece, correct?
Absolutely.
Nobody has seen it other than the people sitting here in the room.
They haven't even seen it. Nobody's seen it.
They haven't even seen it.
We won't see it until Thursday night.
So is this a John Cecil creation?
Largely, it's a Crank Collective collaborative production.
Because you are indeed a...
Collective.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Not to go off on a tangent, but that's what we do here at Offstage and on the Air. So did you know that there is a crankcollective.com or .org?
That's a bicycle
shop. It's a bicycle thing.
Yes, and we're trying to get more Facebook members than them, so we come
we
up
We tried to buy their domain, but they wouldn't take it. The bait.
Yeah. You could buy the domain.
Well, they wouldn't sell it to
me. No, I'm talking about the domain, the shopping center. It's for sale.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
I'm teasing.
You learn something every day.
So getting back to the task at hand, as I try and remote steer Lisa back in her drone.
When was it exactly that we lost control of the show?
Her droning on. I think it was when Maureen came in. That's when we lost control of the show.
Yeah,
that's
what it was. She's flying out of control.
Yeah. So is this, since it is the two characters who are flying the remote, is it a two-person cast? Or?
No, I would say it's a 6-person cast. There's a reporter. There is a...
Investigative reporter.
Mm-hmm. There are people from the government, the CIA, the president is involved
the
in
president.
This.
Which president? I must know.
The president.
The president. Okay. Yeah. I mean, there's only one president. It's the president.
True.
And Mr. President.
Something cataclysmic happens while they're flying the plane. Oh. I don't know if I should give it away.
Well, don't. We have a no spoiler alert thing here. Well, it sounds fascinating.
But there are spoilers on the drone itself.
You know what? When did this turn into Pun City? That's what I want to
know.
I was just taking Maureen's cue.
So, okay. Well, there's spoilers on the plane, and that's just plain crazy. Okay, sorry.
Don't go off script. Keep winging it.
You probably know that a drone is also a musical thingy.
It is.
Yeah, so we've incorporated that too. The very first number, you'll hear the drone.
So this show is about an hour long. Yeah, that was good.
Three acts, 1 hour.
That's what Tina Turner used to say, right?
Namyo Renge Kyo is a Buddhist chant.
Stop it, Ike!
So this show, I just want to say, this show is an hour.
And we usually do 6 songs.
Our show is an hour? It is.
No, our show.
Yeah.
This show.
It's called Drone, Josh.
Yeah. Thank you. And it has 8 songs, and we usually do about 6 songs. So you got 2 extra.
Oh, we're getting 2 for
songs.
The price of 6.
Those are bonus tracks. Just Thursday night.
Bonus tracks.
Awesome. Yeah. Just Thursday night. So tell us what we're going to see. Is it staged? This is not a staged reading.
We're doing full performances. They know their lines. They know their songs. We're going to have a 4-piece band.
They have choreography.
What we're not going to have is choreography. Thanks for mentioning that. Because in February we got a real choreographer who is going to do some big numbers, including foam rubber dancing drone aircraft.
Okay. Who's the choreographer? I'll let you know if they're
Jessica
a real one.
Jessica Kelpsch, who did Georgetown Is it Georgetown Playhouse?
Georgetown Playhouse.
Yeah, yeah, I saw a show that she did a couple months ago, and she got a lot of people to dance without running into each other.
That's good.
And I thought we needed that.
You know what? And that dance. Is...
And with remote control drones, that's what you want.
When you're talking choreography, that's really the only thing that's important, wouldn't you think?
I would think.
Yeah. Oh, shoot. Can I go off on a totally another tangent real quick?
Why stop now?
If we can pull puns off of it, go for
it. Okay. Well, no, and we're going to start. And this really isn't due for a whole bunch of conversation. But I went to see La Traviata, who they were on the show last week. Yeah. And I went to see the show on Friday night. Wonderful tickets. It was just a wonderful show. And then what comes on television on HBO this weekend but your favorite movie musical, Moulin Rouge, which is based on La Traviata.
Yes, it is.
And I have to tell you, once again, and it's not up for discussion because it's my show, you were so wrong about La Moulin Rouge. Okay, back to drone.
The choreography is great. What little bits you can see.
It's a movie, Stuart.
It's a movie musical. You should be able to see the dance numbers.
Okay. All right. So,
Baz Luhrmann can bite my...
You know, he's doing his next movie is The Great Gatsby.
Yes, I did hear that.
Yeah, we love him.
The Great Gatsby?
Baz Luhrmann.
Baz Luhrmann.
And The Great Gatsby. So back onto drone.
yeah, because it's like, where are we going and how did we get in this
handbasket? We don't know. We
That's
lost
what
control.
I want to know.
You know, we never should have moved to Monday. We can't control ourselves on Monday. But you guys are going to do a number from the show.
Absolutely.
Quick little ditty.
Correct. Yeah. Okay, so tell us.
It's a drone-related song. This one's called It Gets to Me, so it has an emotional component. But you'll hear some lyrics that relate to the drone program.
Drone-y.
Do we need tissues?
Well, we do talk about tissues in the song.
First verse talks about tissues.
Tissues? We hardly know use.
These are real important tissues, people.
Okay, what's the name of this song?
Gets to Me.
Gets to Me.
So I'm all in angst over what I've just done and what's going through my mind.
Which you're not going to tell.
Which, no, that's a spoiler alert.
Right. Oh, I didn't say it. I just say a lot.
You just did something. You don't like it.
Yeah, I did something. I don't like it.
Okay. Go for it.
Robot plane, you got no issues. You never cry, you don't need tissues. But when I sit in my RV, it gets to me. Satellite, you do your duty. You don't need love, you don't need beauty. But way down here, terrestrially, it gets to me. It gets to me,
gets to me, gets to me, gets to me.
It gets to me,
gets to me, gets to me, gets to me.
It gets to me,
to me, gets to me, gets to me.
Oh yeah,
gets to me, gets to me.
Sky machine, well you just function. No regrets, but no compunction. But when I muse reflectively, it gets to me,
gets to me.
But when I muse reflectively, it gets to me.
Gets to me. Yay!
Yay.
Okay. We like that. Okay. Well, and you know the mark of a good musical song, right?
Yeah.
You want to sing it afterwards.
Yeah,
and I already,
exactly.
And I can see myself singing this as I leave the
studio. You
want to
leave
today.
The theater humming the tune.
Well, yes. We can play it again if you want.
Would you? Well, thank you.
Who's on right after us today since Richard Portnoy isn't? Because are they here? Let's just keep the... Can we keep these guys on and do some
going.
More songs?
You know what? Something is nine-tenths of the law. Possession.
That's right. We're here.
Lock we're here.
Should we lock the door?
Lock the door. Well, tell folks where they can get some information about the show, Drone.
I would go to droneshow.com.
Mm-hmm.
That's droneshow.com. I think. It's got it all.
That is. Yeah. And that is the 11th. And then this is the test run for a full-blown. And I guess this is full-blown. It's not fair of me not call this full-blown.
It's just a sneak.
It's a full-blown show, for sure. Right. And but we are going to relaunch in February. But this show is November 11th, Thursday night, at the Salvage Vanguard.
Right, and then you're gonna play again.
Relaunch. It was a.
Relaunching it over at the City Theater. Mm-hmm. And perhaps you guys will come back prior to coming to the City Theater.
Well, we'd love to do that. That would be great.
That'd be great.
Super.
Well, thank you guys so much for coming on
the program. Thanks for having us. Bye, guys.
It gets Bye-bye. To me.
Take care. That was great. That was. See ya.
Bye.
John Cecil. Josh Meindertsma doing Drone, which happens on November 11th at the Salvage Vanguard.
Okay, they're adorable and they're fun. Let's can we catch them before they leave? Let's have them come back and do another song.
At droneshow.com.
One room, that's all I really want. A place to lay my head and to be with you. Just one room, a table and a stove, a bureau and a bed, and a chair or two. One window with curtains, one flower, one pot. It sounds like
okay.
So
Jill Clayburgh again.
Yeah.
This is from the Rothschilds, which is also
I never saw that show.
I haven't seen it, but I know all the music and I love it. And it's about my people.
Yep.
It's about my people, and my people are important. So I wanted to – we have about a minute and a half to talk about Stuart Moulton's future. So let folks know –
get the Ouija board out.
as succinct as we possibly can, let's talk about what you're about to embark upon.
Well, yeah, I will be doing some field reporting for Offstage and On the Air, which I'm very excited
about.
From
where?
From a lot of different corners of the world. Just landed the lead on Crystal Cruises for their production shows. So I'm going to be a big Maha star on the high seas.
He's a big Maha, but see, and this is a great thing for you, Stuart, and I'm very, very happy for you.
Thank you.
I'm very sad for the program because I'm going to miss you, which means you're not going to be here for about 5 months.
No, it'll be four.
4 months,
and then after that, three.
Right. After that, we're going to do 3 months on, 3 months off,
right.
And then during the time that you're away, we're going to have Nicole.
Great.
Who's very good, Shiro. And we'll have just a different flavor of the show.
That's right.
But you will check in with us.
Absolutely. I'll be sending in some field reports. They've got great guest artists that come on board.
Yeah.
I get to sail with Michelle Lee this summer. I am so excited. And Karen Morrow, who I'm like the hugest freaking fan of.
That is so cool.
And a lot of people know Michelle Lee. If you don't know Karen Morrow, get on the interweb.
Get on the interwebs and look her up.
She's unbelievable.
Well, I'm going to miss you terribly, but we'll be looking forward
Thank
to your
you.
Field reports.
Yay.
And you're like literally leaving the studio and going to the airport, aren't you?
Pretty much.
It's crazy. It's crazy.
Pretty much.
Well, Stuart, I will miss you terribly.
Thank you.
And thank you. And I want to say to Maureen, thank you.
Tell us how
this experience has been for you.
It has been delightful. It's been a pleasure. And you both look younger and smarter than you sound on the air.
Well, we like her.
Wait.
That all is forgiven.
We look smarter than we sound on the air, she said.
Oh.
That's what you call a backhanded compliment, Maureen.
Yeah. Okay, well.
I've been working on my backhand.
I don't know what to say about that. So.
All right.
But, Maureen, it was a pleasure having you on. And tell all your friends to listen to the show because you're on it. It's going to be available on the Facebook.
We can be fanned on Facebook.
Yep.
And, yeah.
And all that stuff.
Yep.
So, Stuart.
Lisa.
I remember it well.
We met at 9.
We met at 8.
I was on time.
No, you were late.
Ah, yes. I remember it well.
Okay. Well, Stuart, we've done it again.
We dined alone.
Put my mic on. What? Are we out of time?
We've done it again.
Oh, thank you so much again.
So.
And thanks to Maureen McLean for co-hosting. You can check us out at offstageonair.com where you can download the show, see playlists and links to our guests, and please friend us on Facebook, facebook.com/offstageandontheair. Stand by for the Common Thread with Thor Armbruster coming up next. Nicole Shiro and I will be back next week when we look at what's happening offstage and on the air.
I remember it well.